Another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And you know, here at Advanced Living Radio, we have a theme that focuses on an intention, a thought, a prayer, a request, many ways of saying this. Repeatedly, on a daily basis, I've put forward this and invite you to have something that inspires you and put that out there to the world. Mine goes like this: Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion in their lives, so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes. So that's my guiding light, and I invite you to create one for yourself or use some of that or all of it. We're just excited for the opportunity to be alive, be on the planet, and to have our lives not only work for us, but to perhaps be an example to others, that guiding light. And of course, as we get into our show today, you're in for a real treat. As we get into this, I want to invite you, before we get started, to check out the sponsor of our program. And it is called the Comfort Technology. If you go to a website, advancedlivingcomfort.com, you're in for a treat. You may have heard of Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul books, or Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub, or Reverend Michael Beckwith in the movie The Secret. Those folks and a number of others that are well known in the personal growth, the human potential movement, and just general folks have found that their lives got better when they got a hold of this tiny plug-in item. It looks like a digital clock, so it got a nickname of a Clark Kent clock with superpowers, because when you plug it in, it's kind of like having this beautiful energy added to your space, and that beautiful energy is so powerful, so harmonizing, so coherent and stable. The stress of the electromagnetic world, the cell phones, the computers, all the electronics, the Wi-Fi, the smart meters, on and on, stuff that is convenient for technology but really having a negative effect on our health and quality of life, that mitigates a lot of that. So check out advancedlivingcomfort.com and find a simple way to improve your quality of life. And now, how about some fun and adventure? What a thing for our beautiful Saturday to do. I'm sure from time to time we've all been through some stuff and thought, exasperated, frustrated, just, oh my gosh, challenges. Well, what if we could connect you to someone that has has been through some tough stuff, but has some wonderful things to share with us, because isn't it nice when someone is faced with adversity and finds a way through it and then takes the time, doesn't just run off and celebrate on their own, but takes the time to communicate some of this with us as an inspiration. Our guest today, Lynn McLeod, is going to show us how to put some fun and adventure back in our lives, and she makes mention that failure is not fatal, success is not coincidental, life is a journey filled with adventure. And you'd say, well, easy for her to say, and you'd wonder, how could she say that, when you find out that Lynn was abandoned by her birth mother at 9 months old, taken by welfare authorities, and later kidnapped by her father and grandfather to bring her home. And boy, she would be someone that people could relate to, who feels that life is too difficult and just not fair, and mostly the pit. Well, with a mixture of humor and warmth, Lynn, in her book, What a Sweetheart, she weaves for us a marvelous adventure of her travels and her ability to overcome things. And it's in her book, From Sims to Zanzibar, you'll learn that Sims is like Sims, Texas. Well, how is we going to find out about how Sims, Texas ties into the Zanzibar and the wonderful life of our guest today? So let's welcome Lynn McLeod and have a lot of fun. Lynn, welcome.
Well, thank you, Ken. I very much feel honored to be on your show today, and I love your enthusiasm. You obviously have a great enthusiasm for life. I love that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's just making use of a gift that was given to me, and then seeing what I can do to be thankful by really appreciating that gift. And tell me, I didn't say a lot about your life, so we could get started if there's a little bit that you'd want to share about background to help us get started.
Well, I grew up in Texas, and some people laugh at that, of course, because you know how proud Texans are of their home state.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I bounced around a lot, so I spent some time as a young girl in California as well. But for the most part, I grew up in East Texas, which is very small. It's northeast of Dallas, and I bounced back and forth between Dallas and Sims. And Sims is where I finished high school. A little bit of instability in my life due to the fact that Dad moved around a lot and was married a few times. And so I eventually went to spend my high school years with my grandfather just to be able to go to one high school and finish high school, because my dad tended to move around a lot. So I spent a lot of time switching schools. I'd gone to 20 schools by the time I got into high school.
Oh, my.
So it was... you know, when you're switching schools like that, I mean, I look back on it now and I think, wow, how did I survive that? But when you're going through it, it's just, it becomes normal. It's your life, so you just deal with it. But once I got settled with my grandfather and went to one high school to finish high school, then that was certainly a gift in itself to be able to go to one high school.
Huh, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Some of the same people time day in and day out. Wow.
But, you know, I was gifted, and I do call it a gift, because now as a mentor for underprivileged kids for Denver Kids, Inc. here in Denver, I was really gifted with love in my life. I had a loving family, and my dad loved me, my grandfather. So, you know, my as you mentioned, my birth mother did abandon me. But the mother who really gave me my life, the stepmother, is really the one I call mother. And so between her and my dad and my grandfather, I certainly had a lot of love in my life. And I see underprivileged kids today where they don't have that. And I've realized that that truly is a gift.
Mm. Ah, okay. So one of the foundational pieces that has helped you throughout your life.
Absolutely.
And
you know, as much as I moved around and got shuffled around between all the different family members and people, it really comes back to feeling feeling like you are a person, and that people do care about your future. And I think that makes a huge difference in people's lives, and sometimes we forget how much that can influence kids. Mm-hmm. Kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for sometimes.
Oh yeah. That's for sure. Now, the title of the book that you wrote, From Sims to Zanzibar, and so now you've given us a little bit about what the word Sims would be from the high school in Sims, Texas. What is Zanzibar about?
Well, you know, the title, Ken, thank you for asking that. From Sims to Zanzibar, when I came up with that title, along with a friend of mine who helped me brainstorm on that, Zanzibar is a real place. It's an island off the eastern coast of Africa, part of Tanzania. But From Sims to Zanzibar is really about my journey. And so there's a little bit of subjectivity to that title in the sense that it's a metaphor for my journey. And it was really one of my passions in life is traveling. I think travel really opens your eyes to what we have in this country. And so I've made it part of my life's mission to travel in countries. In fact, I'm getting ready to go to Peru over Christmas this year. And I took a year off of work and traveled the world, and I picked places that were third world countries, places that I wouldn't normally go on vacation just if I had 2 weeks. And Zanzibar, it was sitting on a beach in Zanzibar, Africa, after I'd gone through some of these third world countries, that I basically had an epiphany.
Mm.
And the epiphany was such that I'd seen all this, I'd gone through Nepal at that point in Africa and some other places, Cambodia, and I'd seen real poverty. And so it was sitting there that I started really reminiscing about what I had seen in my own life and realizing that this four-bedroom or four-room house with no running water that I lived with my grandfather in this old house in East Texas, and suddenly it wasn't so bad. The well water was clean. I had a roof over my head. I had loving family around me. And I saw some of the poverty, abject poverty. I mean, just pure, simple things like food that people didn't have to eat each day. And I suddenly realized life wasn't so bad. And so that's sort of brought my life full circle sitting there. And so that's why the title was important to me, because From Sims to Zanzibar, that was my life full circle, and I knew I would never see life the same again.
Wow. So how did this epiphany of yours, this realization of from what you grew up with to what you saw on your travels and sitting there in Zanzibar, how did that lead to writing the book?
Well, I was invited during my year sabbatical. I had wound up in Australia, and I got an email from my high school asking me to speak at the commencement ceremony that year. Well, it was a little tough for me to get from Australia back to Sims, Texas in a week, so I offered to speak the next year, and so I went back that year, and I started thinking about what am I going to talk to a group of graduating seniors about. So I sent an email to the senior class president, said, What do you guys want to hear about? She said, well, the fact that you have made a success out of your life and that you came from Sims, Texas is enough. So anything you have to say will be fine. And I said, a success. Wow. I'm viewed as a success. That's an interesting concept. So I started brainstorming and doing some research on what is success. So, and my book is really about that. It took my commencement speech and it expanded on the six things that I think are important for being successful in life, and told some personal stories in that book. And I didn't write the book right away. The commencement speech I did was in 2002. I didn't write the book until 2010. And I think just because, well, life sort of gets in the way, you get busy with jobs and that sort of thing. But over time, it became important because people would ask me about this speech. Mm-hmm. And they would ask me that question about being successful. And over time, I realized that maybe I did have a message that would be important for people to hear. And nobody was ever going to hear it unless I wrote it. So a friend of mine in Dallas, she's a doctor of psychology at the Dallas colleges, and she really, really motivated me and made me write this book. And it's been a wonderful journey doing that because it's touched people's lives, and that's what I love doing that. I love touching people's lives and maybe helping them journey through their own life.
Ah, okay. Now, I'm looking at a bookmark that came with your book, and on one side of it, it has Lynn's notes, and coincidentally, there happen to be six little notes here on this, and I didn't know if this, by chance, corresponded with any of the six things that you mentioned as keys for a better life.
Yes, they do. At the back of the book, not the six things. If you like, I'll tell you the six things that I put in my book, and certainly
yeah.
It's not exclusive of anything else that people can come up with. But the six things that I felt were critical to living a successful life, whether it be your personal life or your business life, because I tried to touch on both aspects. You can't be happy in one and not the other. To me, they go hand in hand. One of them, and probably one of the most important ones, is just being determined. So determination and perseverance, never quitting. And the second one is attitude, having a positive attitude. Success is a journey, not a destination. So always keeping in mind that you're not ever arriving. You're always journeying. You're on a journey. Giving yourself permission to fail. We learn from failure. That's a really important one to me as well. Find your passion, live your dream. So be passionate about life. Find something that you love to do and go for it. And then commitment to live a balanced life. And that's the part where I talk about my travels, where I talk about how important family and friends, being healthy, and just having fun. You mentioned at the beginning of your broadcast about just having fun in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I talk about having fun. You have to be committed to just enjoying life. So those are the six things that I think are important. Now, the notes on the bookmark, I put in the back of my book, there's a chapter called Lynn's Notes.
Yeah.
Way more interesting than Cliff's Notes, I said.
Yeah.
So those, the bookmark, I just picked a few of the notes that I had put in the back of the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just little tidbits on what some of the things that I think are important.
Yeah.
Living life.
I don't know if you've done any stuff on YouTube yet.
I haven't. I should do that.
Well, to me, to look at your book, talk with you, see the promotional photo that you do, which is like someone that is got a glow and just this inner joy. So that to me is like, I want to know this person more.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And then with your adventuresome nature of the different travels, I thought even like now you're up in the foothills or I guess you'd call it the foothills, possibly, of near Denver, Colorado, to have you strolling in nature and then perhaps pausing and sharing some of your little notes or musings about life out in the midst of nature and giving people a chance to actually see you in nature and get an essence for how deeply you feel these things.
What a great idea, Ken. Because I one of the most magnificent experiences of nature that I've ever had in all of my travels is, and I could, when you said that, I could just suddenly imagine doing a panoramic video of this site. I was standing at 18,000 feet on top of a mountain in Nepal with a dead-on view of Mount Everest. And 360 degrees around me were nothing but, you know, 8,000 meters of mountains, which, you know, Mount Everest is well, it's 29,000 feet. But all around me, there were those kinds of mountains and glaciers, and it was just the most magnificent sight that I've ever seen. I mean, the Colorado Rockies are beautiful, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But just seeing the Himalayas in that way, and it was just breathtaking. So I suddenly had this vision, when you were talking about that, of taking a video camera and just doing a panoramic sweep of everything around me, and how breathtaking that would be to share. Photographs just don't capture it in the same way.
Right. Right. And to me, it's certainly interesting to look at a view that magnificent, at the top of the world and the vastness of it. And to me, that can metaphorically speak to the potential. Look at this vast scene in nature, and look at the vast potential we have as people. And for you to not only show that, but to be speaking at both levels of you personally as you discover some of your own vast potential, and then to have that be portrayed against a backdrop of nature, whether it's the Himalayas, the Rockies, the Grand Canyon. I mean, there's certainly a number of places that just call forth the vision of the greatness of and vastness of nature.
Absolutely. And we live in such a beautiful country here in the U.S. When I lived in Europe, a lot of people would say, well, Americans, I mean, you never hardly, what is it, 10% of Americans have passports or whatever. And I would always defend us by saying, but you don't understand how big our country is and how much beauty we have in our own country.
Yeah.
We could spend our life just seeing all the beauty that's here in this country. And it's true. There's so much beauty here, but there's so much beauty and so much experience going outside of our country. And I just love that part of my life so much that I just made it a mission in life to travel as much as I can while I'm physically able.
Sure. Yes, and then with the work that you're doing besides your corporate work, with helping youngsters to blossom their lives, to me that's something else. Because it's one thing to say, well, look, we've got this amazing planet to explore, our country, different countries, you could see all kinds of scenery, and then here you are, not only going to those places, but through your own life, exploring the adventure of life as Lynn McLeod.
There's just nothing that can duplicate actually experiencing. You can read about it in books, and you can watch documentaries on TV, but walking into someone's home in a little village in Nepal, and sitting down with a Nepalese family and seeing how they live and experiencing their life firsthand is just an amazing experience. And going, while I was in Nepal, we went through several schools. And, you know, Sir Edmund Hillary, one of the things that he did after he summited Mount Everest, he wanted to give back to this wonderful country of Nepal, so he set up the Himalayan Trust, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it funds schools and hospitals in Nepal, and so I had the great privilege of being able to visit some of those schools that the Himalayan Trust established, and to see these kids who would have never otherwise been given the opportunity to get an education. and to go into the schoolyards, and they would always want to talk to the Westerners. They called us Westerners. So to sit and talk with them, and many of them spoke English, so we could communicate, and then in some instances they didn't, but there's other ways of communicating other than speaking. So it was a wonderful experience to be able to do that.
Ah, wow. Okay. Well, this is great. And I'm wondering, because of the work you do, an organization, I think Denver Kids Inc.
Uh-huh.
That you work with on a regular basis. Is that right?
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm as soon as we get off of the program today, I'm going to pick up I'm a mentor, so of course she's called a mentee. She's a 15-year-old girl, and Denver Kids, the graduation rate nationally is 70%. And at one point in time, I don't know what it is this exact day, but it's about 50% in the Denver public school systems, which is appalling. So Denver Kids, their mission is to take the kids in these underprivileged situations and provide them with mentors to help get them into secondary education and introduce these kids to life and help them succeed. So I have a 15-year-old mentee, and I'm picking her up here in about an hour. We're going to go out to dinner. I took her to Washington, D.C. over the summer, over July 4th.
Mm.
So she got to see the national fireworks.
Wow.
There on the mall underneath the Washington Monument. So it was just, it's very fun to see someone's eyes light up when they get to see things they only read about in their history books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she was so excited that she got to go see the Lincoln Memorial, and we got to see the Capitol Building and the Library of Congress and all these things that she just reads about. So it's fun to introduce kids to those kinds of experiences, because I would have loved to have had a mentor take me to Washington, D.C. when I was 15.
Yeah. Wow. Exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting to know that you've made a difference in someone's life like that.
Yeah, most definitely. And now you're, what's the name of your mentee?
Her name is Lexi.
Lexi, okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, I didn't know if it was okay to use that name on the air or something.
She would be delighted if she were listening right now to hear her name on the air.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay, because to me, with the theme of your book and some of the work that you're doing, and just this calling forth in us, this idea that perhaps, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not true, but when you go, well, what if you pretended your life was an adventure versus a torture, an extended sentence on this strange planet waiting for the mothership to come take you back to a nicer place? What if what you were here was just an adventure, and you've done that in your life?
Life is an adventure, Ken.
See?
We just need to embrace that and go for it. There are so many things to do and not enough time or money to go do them all.
Right, right. And to me, some of the beauty is that you've done that, and then you're sharing not only the intrigue of the story, which is fun because of your travels, but your notes that are your communication about, okay, what are some of the principles of your life that help you to live it as an adventure and to not just have it be an adventure, but as you put forth that it's an important principle of a balanced life. So you've taken care of things in your education and your financial world as a businesswoman, the family things. I mean, this is... you're walking the talk here, girl.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. And you know, you just brought up an interesting and a very important point, Ken. The foundation of all of what I enjoy in life today has been my education. And that's why that's what inspired me to get involved in Denver Kids Inc. because without an education, you know, our choices become much more limited, I think. An education just opens a lot of doors of opportunity to go and enjoy life and to make a difference in other people's lives. I would not have had the financial wherewithal to, without my education, to go into these other countries and have these wonderful experiences and then to turn around and give back. I just wouldn't have been able to do it. So I always try to make the point that get an education. Just do that first, and then the rest will come.
Wow.
Then you can have choices. You can make all these wonderful choices.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So once again, an important foundation that if people pay attention to that, then these other things become much more available to them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, this is really important, and it makes me curious because I know you're a student of life, and a name was brought up recently, and I haven't had a chance to look into it, but you mentioned some time in California, and there's this group of people in Northern California that are doing some educational work at this place called the Khan Academy, and it's an online resource where they have, if you go to khanacademy.org, and apparently there is things available in terms of basic education, I mean, chemistry, math, just all kinds of stuff that is self-paced, and people, if they have access to a computer, I mean, it's there, and there's folks looking in, so I know sometimes the school system has been under pressure to try to meet the needs, and they try to get a classroom through, and here's a online place where people go at their own pace. So if you
interesting.
Haven't...
You know what? I'm sitting in front of my computer, so I just went online and brought it up, and I had never heard of this before, but it looks interesting. I'll have to do a little exploring on this website.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because to me, I don't know enough about it other than I'd heard some that they were doing some things and actually attempting to offer a free education to people all over the world.
And Ken, that's another point you just bring up. I think when people, when I talk about education, of course, having a degree and everything from a university is certainly opening a lot more doors, but there are so many opportunities for education, particularly in our country, that people should take advantage of. And this is another thing I'm going to do a little research on it, but there's so many ways to get educated today. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And then when you go to some of these countries that don't have access to education, it just boggles your mind how many people don't take advantage of what we have here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And to me, what would be kind of intriguing is I don't know. I just love to. The do what if kind of things, because I've encouraged you to do some filming of some of your wisdom in nature, because I think it would be both entertaining and very educational. And who knows if you make friends with these Khan Academy people, and all of a sudden people all over the planet are seeing you and benefiting from that. So it's not just Lexi, who is, of course, very excited about you being in her life, but reaching the lives of many wonderful children.
That is, you know, I hadn't even thought of that, Ken. That is such. I'm so happy that you made that suggestion, because I'm going to Peru in December, and I'm going back to Nepal in May, and I'm already, my mind is going a million miles a minute here, just already thinking. About taking now a video. I hadn't even thought of doing that.
Uh-huh.
What a great suggestion.
Oh, golly.
So now I'm like thinking of all these things I'm going to do.
There's a I think she might have been from Texas, Edwene Gaines. And Edwene's not a name you hear too often.
No.
But one of her favorite sayings was, "Lisa, hoot!"
And that sounds Texan. That sounds Texan.
Yes, doesn't it? So, well, now, about your kind of circling back to your book, you put all this stuff together, and now I'm understanding that you're self-published, because I know sometimes in talking to people, getting a book published, once you write it, can be incredibly difficult, and so maybe can you address a little bit of that?
You know, you're right, Ken. I mean, writing the book is the easiest part. I think marketing it and getting it out there for people to read, getting it published is very difficult. I won't kid anybody about that. And you know, being a first-time author, I didn't have a lot of options open as far as going to big publishers. And if you know, even Jack, you mentioned Jack Canfield before. When he first was marketing his first book, mm-hmm. and I don't remember, you know, Soup for the Soul.
Oh, yeah, the Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Chicken Soup for the Soul. I read a story about how difficult it was and how long it took him to actually get that out there. And then, of course, once he did get it published, he's been very successful. And then the first novel by John Grisham, A Time to Kill. He couldn't find a publisher for that book. So I knew that I've never written a book before, how was I ever going to find a publisher who would take me on? And nowadays there is there's such an opportunity to do self-publishing. And I think if you find the right people to help you through that process, it's a very, very good way to get your message out there. And, you know, nowadays we have e-books. Self-publishing houses and e-books. So people like myself that would have never had the opportunity to get our books out there, now we can.
Ah.
So I would encourage anyone, and in fact, I quoted someone in my book as Sam Horn, who is an inspirational speaker, and she was quoted as saying, you know, I said, write a book, and she says, I've never met an author that was sorry that he or she wrote their book. They are just only sorry that they did not write it sooner. And
how
now
about
with
that?
Self-publishing, you know, it is a little easier. I won't say it's a piece of cake or anything like that, because it is very time-consuming, and you kind of have to find people who can walk you through the process. But the journey is worth it.
Yeah.
There's nothing more exciting than actually seeing your book right there in front of you. The first time I ever saw it, it's like, wow, my name's on a book.
Interesting. Well, now, this, as you're saying that, one of the things that I like, of course, is cooking, because it gives me a chance to blend things together, different seasonings, different foods, and I have a saying about cooking that also applied, because for a period of time in my life I was also a bartender. And so my saying, which is kind of part of the life is an adventure sort of saying, is I never made a bad drink or a bad dish. I just ran out of large enough containers.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yes, yes, because the underlying assumption is, given the opportunity, I'm going to keep blending things, and it will, at some point, be magnificent.
Absolutely.
And so...
Especially if you're cooking at the same time you're doing bartending. It's probably amazing the dishes you can come up with.
Yes, it is. With this organization, you're part of Kids Inc., right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's because it's Denver Kids Inc. Is that a national organization?
No, it's Denver Kids. It is. The name of the organization is Denver Kids Inc., and it's based here in Denver.
Okay. So I didn't know if there was Kids Inc. places in many cities.
I think there's a number of organizations across the country that do similar things to Denver Kids, but this particular organization is just here in Denver.
Okay. And about how many folks are part of that in terms of the kids?
You know, I wish I had a good answer for that, Ken. I don't know exactly how many kids. I went to a Denver Kids breakfast, and the ballroom had probably 300 to 400 people in it. I'm really bad about spatial things, but there's quite a number of people involved in this from the organization itself, which is based, they have an office in downtown Denver, and then the number of kids across the Metroplex that are involved in the Denver Kids program. So not all kids in every school are part of it, obviously, but they pick the kids. They have counselors that are part of schools, and then the counselors in those schools choose the kids that they think would benefit from this kind of mentorship. So I don't know how many kids are actually involved.
Okay. Well, just
made me curious to go find that out.
Yeah, because to me, I was just thinking, as we'd spoken a little bit about Jack Canfield and the idea of Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and then your work, and then your travels, and the fact that you're a self-published author, and now there's e-books. So I'm over here going, I wonder, what about the possibility that some of the kids might have some interesting stories to tell that could then be put as whatever chapters in a book of something dedicated to youth expressing the adventure of life.
You know, that's a perfect idea. I've heard that tossed around. I don't know if anybody has ever taken it on as a project, but now you've given me another idea, Ken.
Oh boy.
What a great idea. You've come up with some really good ideas tonight.
Gosh, amazing.
I knew
what
there was a
happen.
Reason I needed to talk to you.
Someone pays attention once in a while. Yes. Well, see that theme about of the prayer. It's not just something casual.
Exactly.
And so when I call that forth, and then we interact, and it's like, okay, well, show me something interesting. What about this? What about that? And and so that's the beauty of getting to spend some quality time sharing important insights while seeing what we can do in our interactions with each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Golly, that's kind of fun. Well, I am curious. So you've got a trip to Peru planned, some stuff with Nepal. What else are you looking at as you continue with these adventures?
Well, again, looking at time and financial resources is of course a factor. If it were unlimited, I'd probably be traveling as my life's vocation. But given that I do have those restrictions, I want to go back to Africa next year, at the end of next year as well.
Yeah.
And there's just an unlimited number of places I want to go, but Nepal is one of my favorite destinations. I've been there about 4 times. But there's so many places in the world that I just want to go and explore, and I just can't do it all.
Yeah.
But I'm trying.
Sure. No, it makes me curious. At some point in time, if you were to, be in a position to, retire from the business community, what I would wonder about is a person with your credentials and your background, if there would be some funding from some foundation, some organization, maybe even the government, who knows, for you to be an ambassador, taking some youngsters traveling, and not just taking them traveling, but turning that into documentaries as well. so it wasn't, it would be great for the kids to get to go with you, and then a story that would be told to lots of other kids who didn't go on the journey but were going to be inspired by viewing what you did with those kids. So I'm just seeing if we can pull together a way for this to be funded.
Oh, my gosh. If you found that out, I would quit my day job tomorrow. I seriously would. You put another thought in my head again. Because I think I shared with you before that I had considered a few years ago when I was between jobs going over to some of these countries that I'd been in and teaching English. English is such a, everybody wants to learn English. That was kind of an interesting observation as I traveled through a lot of these countries. And we're fortunate to be in an English-speaking country, and English is the global language, and everybody wants to learn how to speak it. And so I thought how wonderful it would be to go to some of these places and teach English.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could do something like what you just mentioned, that would be even more fun.
Yeah.
It opens up the world to so many people.
Exactly. And in this time where the communication industry, my gosh, someone was telling me the other day, they're working on solar devices. There's some breakthroughs in technology. And in some of these remote villages, the people are using this to power their computers and their phones, and all of a sudden, in the midst of this primitive village, somewhere in the middle of a very remote place, they're connected to the entire world.
Absolutely, the internet is certainly opened up the world to a lot of people as well.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh my, when we're starting to talk about the family of man, it's more than just this vague concept. There's now people all over the planet beginning to connect with each other in real time. How fun.
Yeah, you're right. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And now let's see. Now, because we haven't talked, is there perhaps an adventure or two from your book that you'd want to share to tantalize us with going, I have to read this book?
No. Well, you know, the book, everybody says, well, when are you going to write a book about your travels? And in my book, From Sims to Zanzibar, I talk about my travels just the year that I took off and went on a sabbatical.
Hmm.
But there are lots of other travels that I've done and certainly a lot more adventures that I, you know, this book was about the things I thought were important for being successful, and certainly my travels impacted me in a huge way. So everybody said, well, when are you going to write a book just about your travels? So let me get this one published first. And the second edition, by the way, is going to be out at the end of the month. So I expanded a little bit in the second edition.
Oh.
But I do want to write a book about my travels and some of the experiences that I had that were impactful. And but I think one of the things about that I did talk about in this book is I did talk about some of the traveling that I did. And the countries that I went to during my year-long sabbatical were Nepal, Tibet. Not many people go to Tibet, so that was a fabulous experience. Africa, Australia, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Venezuela. So just experiencing some of those things. But one of the questions I get asked a lot, Ken, is, were you doing all this alone? And I say, yeah, and I don't think I really understood how people would take that. They're like, really? You did this alone? You're a woman. So I didn't think anything about it at the time, but I guess it was surprising to a lot of people that I would take off and just do this alone. And then the next question, well, were you ever in a situation that was maybe you felt uncomfortable, that was a little bit strange? And so one of the stories that I talk about is I had landed in India, and it was about midnight, and so there was a mass of people. It was just an ocean of people. And this man walked up to me. He looked official, but I'm in the middle of New Delhi, India. So what does official look like there? But he came up and said, well, a friend of mine will take you to your hotel. He has a taxi. So I trustingly went out and got in this taxi that this man said it was a friend of his. And as we're pulling off at the airport, it's midnight, 1 in the morning, and it suddenly occurred to me this might not be the smartest thing I've done. So I started taking my passport and my money and everything and, you know, putting it down in, inside my clothes. But it did occur to me that if he was going to kill me and take my money, it didn't matter where it was. But, you know, I, as luck would have it, somebody was watching out for me because he took me to the hotel. Now, I did get a call from the taxi company saying I didn't pay my bill. Luckily, I had a receipt. So that was a little scary, knowing that I was in a hotel room in the middle of India by myself and somebody's thinking I haven't paid my taxi bill. But it's one of those experiences where you just, you're thankful that you came through it and nothing bad happened, because I had had some girls that I met along the way that told a story about being taken by a taxi and robbed. So that could have easily happened. So, yeah, there were a few of those uncomfortable situations that, that you look back and realize that somebody was looking out for you.
And what I'd be curious about is, given the theme that you exude about life as an adventure, Einstein, among all kinds of brilliant things, said that one of the best assumptions we could make is that the universe is a friendly place. Now there's still a whole bunch of research that'll go on for who knows how long before it's determined, is the universe really friendly, or was Einstein just guessing? I don't know. But
maybe his universe was a little smaller back then.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, it does keep expanding. I look and I said, well, you know, there was the end last week, but now where'd it go? So it leads me to be wondering about some of the underlying attitude with that when someone is thinking life's an adventure, maybe you're not also underlying that thinking, who's lurking out there to try to get me? But more that there is some, in an adventure, something good that awaits you.
You know, and I, one of the places in my book that I talk about attitude, and I think what you just defined is, we can take the attitude that there's a lot of fun things to do out there, or we can take the attitude that I'm fearful to go out there because there's so many things that can hurt me. And I choose to take the attitude that there's a lot of things to really have fun out there in the universe, and you just have to go take your chances, and that's part of living life. And if you, you know, certainly you have to make calculated risk, as I call it, and know your limitations and don't do stupid things, but you can't be so fearful of what's going to happen that you don't go enjoy it. And, you know, I know a lot of people who are like that, and I'm not sure if you're born with that attitude or you've had things happen in your life that made you be like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it would
but
be curious.
I just try to encourage people to, you know, but think of all the things you're missing by sitting here and doing nothing.
Right. And what I'm not sure about is with the and we're getting darn so close to having to wrap up our time together, but makes me curious, with the travels that you had early on, and seeing that you got from one place to the next, and you did have to adapt, but that may have been one of the ways that you learned that you could go places and that it was going to be okay.
Yeah, it, you know, you adapt to whatever happens. Like, I thought I had a bus to get out of Cambodia over into Thailand. The bus didn't show up, or the van didn't show up, so I got on the back of a pickup truck that took me across Cambodia, and nobody spoke English, and I just about smothered to death with all the dust. And but I made it, and at the end of it, you look back and go, wow, now that was an adventure. I wouldn't have had that much of an adventure if I'd been on a van that was air-conditioned.
Ah, Well, so folks, we'll take that as a kind of a wrap-up inspiring thought, and remind people, go to the website, Lynn McLeod, LynnMcleod.com. Check out her book. And Lynn, just thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Ken. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you, and you seem such a positive person. I'd love to meet you sometime.
Well, since we're both in Denver, I would look forward to that, and we'll make arrangements to have an adventure getting together.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, to you, Lynn, to my beloved listeners, God bless, and goodbye for now.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Let go and let God, let myself loose and let